Okay, then his trousers fell off, and Scott said, "Well, I haven't seen one like that since 1482.
Wow, yeah.
What I can believe that.
What? But, what's that?
It's a big cake.
There's a message on it.
Ooh. Looks tasty.
What does it say?
What's the message? What's the message?
To Karen, Adam and Jean on your belated birthday.
Oh, that's got a huge
Where's it from?
It's from Crumbly.
We haven't seen him in quite a while.
No, suspiciously a long time.
Yeah, it's very strange, that.
Surprise! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, dear Jean, Karen, Adam! Happy birthday to you!
Couldn't talk without the tassels.
Do you know what about the most impressive thing is? He was in there when they baked it.
But what about the frosting? Won't somebody think about the frosting?
Welcome, dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcasts. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Asterman.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jean.
And I am...
Mad.
Mad. We've got a full house.
We have.
Pretty full.
Six of us.
Seven.
And Trixie. Insert bark there.
Trixie doesn't like me for some
reason. No, Trixie's sort of made her feelings known. She likes Adam. There's the initial, this is my house, know your place bark.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
She loves Keith. She loves me. She likes Scott with no barks.
Oh, wow.
She cowers away from Jean like the monster she is.
She snuggled with me all over Christmas.
And she really doesn't like Crumbly.
Yeah.
Well, it's not so
and
much.
I don't think bursting out of that cake helped.
Anyway, obscene birthday cakes besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Woo!
Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah.
Simultaneous climax. As predicted in our last podcast, the Doctor Who finale is indeed going to be released worldwide at the same time as the BBC One broadcast. That will be 7 p.m. British Summer Time, 6 p.m. GMT, on the 31st of May. Those in the cinema, woohoo, will see the repeated penultimate episode before that with the finale at around 7 p.m. Those on the coasts of the United States of America will see it drop on Disney Plus at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Likewise, the iPlayer will have it at 7 p.m. UK time, so no sneaky watching on that Saturday morning for you.
Aww.
Of course, once that is out of the way, then speculation begins on how quickly we might hear about the future of Doctor Who. For those who like to dream about potential new showrunners, it should be noted that Babylon 5's J. Michael Straczynski has just moved to the UK.
Blimey.
Mm. Start the rumours here.
Indeed. Interesting. Good, yes, interesting. In a way. But I don't know how happy Disney would be about that. Clearly they've agreed to not do it at a more convenient time for them. Yeah. Wait, 7 p.m.
So why's JMS moved over here?
Don't know.
He heard me mispronouncing his name.
he's always lived in America. He's American.
Yeah?
Maybe he's escaping while he can.
Perhaps. Yeah. He has been saying he's going to be touting for work. But maybe there's a plan.
Fingers crossed.
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be good.
Maybe interesting.
Yeah.
He also wrote the best He-Man She-Ra episode. So there's a good caliber
and
there.
And the best Real Ghostbusters.
Well, oh, yes. True.
Okay.
Yes.
How long until Spoo shows up in Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Buffy, new Slayer cast.
Ooh.
The upcoming Hulu pilot for potential continuation of Buffy the Vampire Slayer now has its Slayer. Fans of Star Wars : Skeleton Crew will recognise the 15-year-old, I apologise, Ryan Kira Armstrong, who played Fenn as the new lead in Newbie the Vampire Slayer. Actual current title unknown. Buffy herself, Sarah Michelle Gellar, will be reprising her role in the pilot and acting as executive producer. It was Gellar who told Armstrong that she had won the role and caught the exchange on video. You can find that on Sarah Gellar's Instagram account, presumably with permission from the stately elated Armstrong. Gellar put out a statement saying,
"From the moment I saw Ryan's audition, I knew there was only one girl I wanted by my side. To have that kind of emotional intelligence and talent at such a young age is truly a gift. The bonus is that her smile lights up even the darkest room."
Oi, wake up!
Quite when, or indeed if, we might see the new Sunnydale set pilot is currently unknown. Presumably casting will continue now that they have their lead.
She was excellent.
She was one of the bright sparks in Skeleton Crew.
Yes,
one of the duo leads of the series.
It makes sense because Slayers, there's different Slayers at different times.
Yeah, there's a whole load of them at the end of Buffy.
I never saw the end of Buffy, so I'm assuming you can, because it started off with the Slayer became the Slayer when the last Slayer died.
At the
end of Buffy, they activated all the potential Slayers. Yeah. If you could be a Slayer, you were a Slayer.
Although, how long ago was that? Probably more than 15 years ago now.
She wasn't even born at that point.
They forgot to deactivate it, so you've got multiple Slayers.
So this may have changed.
Yeah. Apart from Sarah Michelle Gellar, do we have any more of the original cast members?
Not that we know of.
It would be nice if Giles
Michelle Gellar and Alison Hannigan have been taking pictures together and putting them on their Instagram feeds as well.
Yeah. Sort of Spike back now that he's done Torchwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to explain away 15, 20 odd years of aging.
He's got a soul now.
Giles has got the Giles.
There was a lot of death at the end, wasn't there, of season 7, the final episode. I think Anya got sliced in two.
A couple of them died. Did he die? I can't even remember.
He did die. He burst up into a sheet of flame, but was resurrected and brought back for Angel.
Right, okay.
That's right. Yeah, okay. This is the thing with the immortals. Star Trek!
Waiting to read one.
Go for it.
Star Trek news.
Oh, yeah.
Strange third season dated.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We have very much been in the "don't tell him Pike" mode with the release date of Star Trek : Strange New World Series 3. The scuttlebutt suggested August this year, 2 solid years after season 2 finished. We now know the reality and it is a couple of weeks better. The 17th of July, we'll see the first episode drop on Paramount Plus. Filming on the fourth season's already begun back in March, so we can expect not only 10 episodes this year, but hopefully another 10 next year. After that, it's rather less clear. What with the merger between Paramount and Skydance?
Yeah, and there's all sorts of rumours about the current secret hideout who do Star Trek for Paramount, whether they will continue or not. Who knows?
I'm looking forward to it.
It ended on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Of course.
I've seen a couple of trailers, and yeah, they look good. I'm quietly excited. Mm. I like me some Star Trek.
Yeah. I like me some Star Trek.
I do. I like me some Star Trek.
Alien. Down to Earth series dated. Fans of the phallic xenomorphs can rejoice as the new 8-part TV series will begin on the 12th of August. The first 2 episodes of Alien : Earth will drop at once, broadcasting on FX and streaming on Hulu in the US and Disney Plus elsewhere, with the remaining 6 going out weekly from there. They, whoever they are, describe the series as...
In the year 2120, the Earth is governed by 5 corporations, Prodigy, Weyland-Yutani, Lynch, Dynamic and Threshold. In this corporate era, cyborgs and synthetics exist alongside humans, but the game is changed when the Wunderkind founder and CEO of Prodigy Corporation unlocks a new technological advancement, hybrids. Humanoid robots infused with human consciousness. The first hybrid prototype, named Wendy, marks a new dawn in the race for immortality After Weyland-Yutani's spaceship collides into Prodigy City, Wendy and the other hybrids encounter mysterious life forms, more terrifying than anyone could have ever imagined.
Mm. She's called Wendy because Wendy. When it all goes going to go wrong and yep. she'll be Wendy, shit hits the fan. No. I've been ridiculously disappointed by everything to do with aliens since pretty much the end of Aliens.
Have you seen Romulus?
Romulus isn't too bad. Okay. I enjoyed Romulus. Admittedly, yeah. it goes off the rails slightly towards the end.
Yeah.
But it's been the best of the...
Okay, I'll give that a go. I just couldn't bring myself to watch it after
the one before.
Prometheus. You know.
Yeah. It's an in-betweenquel. Yeah. So it's meant to take place between Alien and Aliens.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's time to give the franchise rest because, I mean, the words flogging and dead horse come to mind.
We're Doctor Who fans.
Yeah. Well... probably a few more stories to tell in the Doctor universe than there may be in the Aliens universe. It's a bit single subject, isn't it?
Just a bit, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Any addendums?
I have an addendum.
Oh, yay! Okay.
Only the one, unfortunately. I have an update to one of your news pieces.
Oh, really? Already? Wow,
yeah,
that's quick.
Yeah. Reports are coming in light of rumours around Disney possibly withdrawing Doctor Who funding.
Ooh. Right.
This was published on the 19th of May, so you're late. You're late.
I don't know.
After rumours that Disney may be withdrawing involvement in the series due to declining ratings, though the last I heard, Disney were quite happy with the ratings of the first season.
Yes.
But anyway.
People do like to spin things one way or another.
Yeah. According to... The Mirror, so rumours.
Yep.
Showrunner Russell T. Davis has already planned the next two seasons with script season 16 nearly complete, ready for the 17th season. A source told the publication that Disney withdrawing money wouldn't be as a greater impact as some fan fears, with the current extra funding spent on the technical task of improving picture quality and visual effects.
Okay.
According to the BBC, they will, if Disney withdraws funding, they will continue making it for at least another 2 years.
Wobbly sets are back!
I don't know. Yeah, there's so many rumours either way. It's very hard to know what to believe.
Well, as I think we've mentioned before, the show's dying and is going to be cancelled since Troughton took over.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
I'd say actually from the episode The Daleks.
Once they went to the Tribe of Gum, that second episode went right down.
Yeah, it just ruined the series for me.
It's nice having all these wonderful effects and the blue screens and all the rest of it. You can see the difference and that money's been thrown at it. But Doctor Who has always been about stories.
Yeah.
Not about the special effects. If it was about the special effects, it would have died a death long ago.
In fairness, though, if they pitched it saying it's all about the special effects, it would have got, like you said, it would have got nowhere. Mm. So all they had was, it's about the stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you suddenly losing the money that gives you that special effect, okay, you're going to have to come up with a location shot.
No, I think the special effects...
Or you go down a bit on the special effects, and I think the ones we've had before, it were fine.
Yeah, they've been really good in New Who
but
before Disney came
along. As was saying, the money that Disney gave them didn't go on the special effects. It went on upgrading it from whatever it was to 4K.
Oh, 1080p to 4K.
That's where the money went.
They did do some 4K stuff back in the day. Some of Witarka's stuff was 4K before Disney. But, of course, they had money from the likes of BBC America.
Mm. Yeah.
So they will have to get international people involved somehow.
Only if they want it to still be done at 4K.
No, even when Doctor Who came back, season two of Doctor Who was co-funded by Canadian broadcasting.
Yeah. Just have to film in more quarries.
Yeah. We haven't filmed in a quarry for ages. Yeah. Oh, now we've got someone back. Maybe there is a quarry scene overdue.
Indeed.
We were in a quarry only a few episodes back, weren't we?
Because they unleashed said, oh, we're actually in a quarry.
The
Well, that was it. I was trying to remember the name of it. Yeah.
Any more addendums?
Nope. I'm addendumed out.
And that's the end of the news.
Woo!
Right. As with the rest of you, we've been spending our Saturdays watching Doctor Who. Pause for music. So So this time around, we've got the story and the engine.
Yep.
And the intergalactic song contest.
Interstellar song contest.
Interstellar song contest. Oh, boy. We'll start with, obviously, the story and the engine. And can I just say, there hasn't been a bad episode this season. It's just been one good one after another. There hasn't even been a little middle ground episode.
There's been better and not quite as good, but
they've all been good.
Yeah, I mean, so any episode we've had so far, if you'd thrown it in another season that we've already seen, would have been fantastic.
Yeah. Mm. Like this one was unusual. It was very different.
Yes,
very. The Doctor's taken the TARDIS to Lagos.
Lagos.
Yes. Because there's a barber shop there where he's basically treated like family.
It's also in 2019, so it's as close as they've been able to get so far.
Yeah, really good exchange between the Doctor and Bell about how the colour of this body.
Yeah,
he just feels safe with these with this friend he's got in this barber.
Yeah,
they took a drone to Lagos and did a flyby of an actual market. But the rest of it
is Cardiff.
Yeah. And a lot of extras.
Looks really good. I thought they filmed it all on this location
with some really big lights.
Massive light lights. Yeah.
So the Doctor's looking for his barber shop.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely, lively market. With
auntie and uncle.
Yes. he goes down this alleyway and it's all desolate. Yes. There's missing person posters on the wall.
And a big sign saying turn back.
Yeah. And there's his barber shop. And he goes in and all is not well.
Mm. I like the fact that this was pretty much a single location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a studio episode in literally the traditional sense of the word. We know we're in Lagos, we've got the bits outside, but everything is in that one purpose-built studio, which I quite enjoyed. And it did give me slight overtones of Midnight the Doctor's vulnerable. He got into a situation he initially didn't quite know what was going on.
He wasn't expecting it for a start.
Yeah, he was off kilter.
It's meant to be a safe place.
He's in a safe place and he's not safe. I liked that little bit of edginess for a while.
So basically these people, there's the barber who he's known since he was a boy. His village was on fire and the Doctor hovered the TARDIS and put the fire out with a hose because he's awesome.
Not clear which Doctor there was. It was in silhouette. You couldn't really tell.
I get the feeling
it was this Doctor.
It was this Doctor.
Yeah, because I thought he said earlier in the episode this is the first time he's been here since he regenerated. First time he's been here as a black person. That's the impression I got, but they all recognised him, so
that didn't seem to track. That was not the impression I got. No. The impression I got
was this Doctor.
In extended media, each Doctor has had their own little area. TV comics, the third Doctor had a cottage where he could get away from UNIT.
He loved cottage.
Yeah. Number five had Stockbridge.
Yep. And seven and eight had that house.
Yeah, in
Alan Street.
Alan Road.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Or Alien Road.
And this Doctor seems to have the barber shop.
This barber shop. It's a little. Yeah,
their own refuges.
Yeah, the little area, as you said, is refuge where they can get away from and just be themselves and unwind.
Basically, there are issues. Everyone's having to tell stories to please
the new
something,
barber.
the new owner.
Yes.
I love the effect of when they were, you could only tell a story when you're having your hair barbered.
Cut.
That's the one.
with a particular set of shears.
I love the effect of the stories, the pictures of the stories appearing on the window of the barbershop. Yeah. That was really, it was just
now,
really
pretty. Who thought the barber was one of the Chaos Gods?
Yeah, I pretty much did. Mm. Yeah,
remember I said
you did.
I particularly pointed out Anasazi.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Before they'd said he said it's Anansi.
Thank you, Anansi.
Yeah,
I get that name wrong.
Barbershop, temporal rift on the back of a big giant sort of robot spider.
Yeah,
on the web.
The new barber is the god Anansi.
Or is it an aspect?
The power behind these gods.
Yeah.
The storytelling gods.
And they're having to tell these stories. If the stories are liked, then the spider keeps going and they live.
Yeah.
If they don't like the story, then bad things happen.
Yeah, they're going somewhere.
The stories power the engine.
Once you've come into the barbershop, you can't leave. You've actually crossed the portal. So the barbershop's a bit like the TARDIS. The front door is in Lagos. Yeah. And the inside of the shop is the back of this spider.
You're crossing a dimensional bridge. Yeah.
But there's one lady, Abna, who can come in and out regardless. And mm-hmm. she brings food for them and that kind of stuff. And she's the daughter of a god. And she has got a bit of beef with the doctor. But she comes round. And there was one lovely bit. Now, I knew the story of the braids. But funny enough, I know someone who is of colour who didn't know the story of the braids, that when the slaves were trying to escape in America and go across, that they would actually braid the lady's hair
into a map.
With a map. Yeah. You couldn't carry anything and they were being stripped to be searched. But no one thought to look at the hair. And the different way you wove the hair would have different roots. Now, I'd heard of this story before, but I love the fact that that was actually brought into that.
And, well, we learned something, didn't we? Because I wasn't aware of that.
One of the railroad system.
Underground railroad, One of the scenes I did like that showed Shooty's range was when he realised that this old man who was the boy, his friend, his safe haven, had basically betrayed him and got him there just so that
he could tell really good stories.
Yeah, and they would live. So he trapped him. He bespoiled his safe place. Yeah. And it was just the look of complete disappointment on Shooty's face. It was really well done. Meanwhile, Belinda is in the TARDIS, and the TARDIS don't like it when the door of the barbershop opens.
No, it goes all disco, doesn't it?
And loud and snarky. Blimey,
But do you notice, unlike Clara, who, if Clara said, "Oh, TARDIS, tell me what's going on," it would have farted at her. When Belle says, "What's going on? Show me what's happening," TARDIS shows her, it's that, image. That place there.
Image of the barbershop.
Go there. Right. But did anyone else notice Belinda noticed a strange little girl?
Oh, yes.
Captain Poppy.
Space baby,
Space baby, now space toddler.
So I watched again, and I don't think we actually see this little girl.
Yes, you do.
The doc doesn't see her. It's Belinda who sees her.
Oh, I know Belinda sees her, but I don't know if...
The audience
We see her. Standing at the edge of the alleyway.
I'm watching on a different part. I thought
and
it was in the...
She is credited here as Poppy.
So
she's only seen briefly for less than... In a couple of seconds.
I completely missed it. And then towards the end, when Joe Martin made an appearance, assumed that was the Doctor from the Jodie Whittaker era.
One of the Fugitive.
So who's Poppy supposed to be then?
She's Captain Poppy from Space Babies. But now she's just a strange little girl. Because, of course, Belinda wasn't involved in Space Babies, so she wouldn't have recognised her.
I must confess, I had to watch this episode a couple of times. Because how much of the episode is actually rooted in African sort of mythology and sort of folklore? The spider god Anansi was mentioned.
But I
think the whole concept of a reality built around stories, that was quite an interesting premise. There again, aren't legends just stories?
I was fine with all of that, but I was just a bit confused on the first watch when all of a sudden we were on the back of a spider.
They've done this sort of before. To my mind, yes, they were on the back of the spider. The spider isn't going through space. The spider is going through the human subconscious, because destroying the gods would have wrecked human imagination. So they're slightly out in a different dimension, different reality, and it's proceeding through the human subconscious, like you did with Land of Fiction.
I think the barber mentioned a cerebral cortex basing it on the brain, didn't he?
Unlike you, Scott, I had to watch it twice. I really enjoyed it first time round, but I had questions and I realised I might have missed something.
That kind of makes more sense, because I'm sitting there thinking, well, if he wrote all the stories for all the gods, then all the gods are real and all the realms are real. So you can't be going to one location to kill the gods because they're in more than one. Valhalla isn't in the same location as the Anastasi, and isn't in the same location as the...
Travelling through the human subconscious.
I did notice that there was a few people who were sort of like... Problem isn't the right word, but found it a bit strange that it was the storytelling stuff was all based on Lagos. And I'm like, well, that's
what they are.
That's where they are. Yeah. Every culture has storytelling.
Yeah.
If that was based in Scandinavia, then those stories may have been about Thor going off on Norse an mythology. Adventure. Yeah.
If you're talking to people in Lagos, they're unlikely to tell you this great story about Putney.
So I didn't have a problem. It made sense to me that the storytelling, the tradition and everything that was involved in this was around that particular group.
Yeah.
That's what they're tapping into.
You had initially, he mentioned Dionysus, Loki, the other storytelling gods, the other mischief makers.
Yeah.
So I had no problem with that. Yeah. It all fitted together for me.
So what do we think about Dr. Joe appearing?
That was a nice surprise.
That was.
Again, I didn't see that coming.
No, and I don't know how to explain it either.
No.
I do.
Does he now have his memories of that period?
He had a vague feeling. He knew this person.
Yes.
To my mind, that scene of the fugitive doctor in it was actually from her point of view. She was seeing him as the fugitive doctor.
Her who?
The daughter?
Ebener.
Thank you, Ebener. That was from her point of view.
Nancy's daughter, right.
Yeah, you're seeing it from her point of view as the person who made that promise.
But even Chuty's doctor, the 15th doctor, he seemed to know the fact that he'd let her down.
Yeah,
he's talking about the bet that he tried to lose.
Yeah, but you get that from, one, we're not in real time. We're slightly not in reality. We're in a fantasy world here, in the human psyche. So I'm thinking that he picked that up. Didn't know the context of it.
Maybe.
Didn't know the reasons for it necessarily, but he had the inkling of...
Oh, I just wondering, is something to bleed through, or did he take the pocket watch and retrieve the memories?
The flip side is yes, he's taken the pocket watch. I think it was bleed through.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, what I couldn't get over was how quickly everybody's hair grew in that barber. I mean, he must do a roaring trade.
Well, it's because he could only take the stories from them
while they're in the chair.
You need to have the hair growing.
He occasionally brandished it the same way as the doctor brandishes the sonic screwdriver.
Yeah. This doctor really adores Belinda.
Oh yeah.
The first story he told, you know, forget Daleks and Cybermen, just told
Belinda.
The story of her being herself, doing her job and basically saving that woman's life.
Yeah, did anybody else think that she died?
Yeah,
and she
was
wheeled away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the implication, that they wheeled her away and
she died. The doctors wheeled her away. Would the doctor wheel away somebody who died? Probably not. But
in the doctor's story, Mrs. Flood turns up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Just warm, yes. I'm just coming to get my pills, love.
And the bit where we do the quick recap of all the doctors.
Oh, yes, that's a nice bit.
Belinda didn't bat an eye at all these faces, just kind of like accepted, that's him.
Well, but he did explain earlier.
He has mentioned
episode.
A couple of
he
times.
There is a difference between saying to someone, I can regenerate, and when this body dies, a new one, and being bombarded by a load of faces, most of which...
Belinda is so grounded.
She is it more so than some of them?
Totally. Oh, yeah. I mean, the way she's dealing with this, you're going to take me home, you know, is the antithesis of Tegan.
And also giving him permission to go to the barbershop.
Yeah. So, no, I completely understand her not having an issue. She's in a flipping police box that's bigger on the inside than the outside.
Yeah.
She's been to a planet named after herself. These weird people on the screen, they're you. Fine, great, move on.
I quite like that they didn't, because it would have been very easy for them to fall into the trap of, but who were they? Why are they? Blah, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
They didn't need to.
Which I was quite pleased with.
All I can say is, if I was sitting in that barber's chair, they wouldn't get a story, just a couple of paragraphs from me.
Once upon a time, Crumbly, you had a fine mop of hair.
Oh, I did.
It's just slipped.
Quite a bit.
What are you laughing at, Dunn? Oh, yeah, yours is on your chin now.
Yeah,
slipped.
Chin. So that's two cameos in one episode, then. We've got Poppy and the Fugitive.
Yeah, that's true.
They won't do that again.
And Mrs. Flood, of course, but, you know.
Will they pay off? Will they be back? Mike,
I don't see how they can't be. There's got to be a reason that Poppy was there.
Yeah, we get onto this a bit more in the next episode, maybe. But we're getting up quite a roster of people who have to come back in the final two episodes at the moment.
But no, all all in all, it was it was different for who?
It was interesting.
Good. And obviously RTD deliberately sought out Inua Elms, I think his name is, the writer.
Yeah, I think it's mentioned.
Shooty, I think, actually suggested.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he had been in talks to write for Doctor Who before. It didn't come off.
He acted in Doctor Who.
He was in it.
He was one of the market traders.
He was, yes. And it's actually based on his stage play, isn't it? Barbershop Chronicles.
Yeah.
And half the cast are from the stage play.
And I was going to ask, the guy that played the barber...
He's really good.
The demon barber.
Oh, yeah.
You know when you look at a face and go... I know you.
Yes.
What the hell do I know you from?
Oh, I mean,
does anyone else know where I know him from or what I've seen?
His Dark Materials?
Yeah.
That's it! That's it!
He's the guy who could travel between the worlds, who owned the Tezzer, therefore clearly evil.
Yes, I just sat there. I found that very distracting towards the end, where he's doing all his... He's kind of like, oh, I can't deserve this name, everybody hates me, etc. I'm still sitting there going, where the hell do I know?
He's also in the Good Omens season one. He's been in loads of things.
His Dark Materials. Did he play the guy with the snake demon?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's him.
Okay. Well, we loved it.
Yep.
We want to know what you thought of it. So write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woo! Someone else who really enjoyed this. I broke in during the week.
Oh, really? Okay. Mind.
I had a long chat with him in the corner.
Oh,
is that wise?
1, 2, 3.
Hello, Head of Pertwee!
Hello, Inky McSquirt's Lot, Hello. Dinky
Handles.
McSquirt's
and
Lot.
And Rinky.
Rinky Dinky McSquirt's Lot. Squirt.
Dave Zilla and the Mighty.
Dave Zilla.
Terence.
Graham.
Various Sandy. Nebulas.
Dangerous
Sandy the Stormtrooper.
Sandy.
The Stormtrooper.
You've not met Sandy. No. That's Sandy. He fires laser. He fires bolts or something.
At you, apparently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the noun for a collection of goats?
A herd.
No.
A silliness?
It could be silliness of goats.
A silliness of goats.
A tin can of goats.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
That takes us on to the Interstellar Song Contest.
Hang on. No, it's not the Interstellar Contest. It's the Interstellar Contest.
Fabulous.
Never ever do that again. I'm sorry, but this one was probably the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh, this was magnificent, from just the entire concept of there still being a song contest to
thousands of
Graham
years
Norton to Rylan to the Doctor doing a Wally and shooting across the sky with a glitter cannon.
A confetti cannon,
okay.
This was
to hear Wally.
Wally, the little robot.
I've never seen that.
He used a fire extinguisher to do exactly the same thing.
Said it wrong. It's not Wally, it's Wally.
Wally.
This was magnificent.
It was daft.
Oh, it was... Scott, what did you think?
I was amazed by everything. It was just... it was spectacular, wasn't it?
It was so good.
Now, I think someone gave him the inside skinny, because in this episode, all the people in the auditorium had these funny wristbands had like 3 or 4 LED lights on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to about 2 hours later on Saturday at the Eurovision Song Contest.
They had the same
And
ones.
They had the same armbands. And they have never had those at the Eurovision before, as far as I'm aware.
And it was meant to be Shooty Gatra doing the UK.
It was. Yeah. Well, he dropped out for unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. It was about 2 days before.
Yeah, we got stuck with Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. Did they copy the Insta?
Makes you wonder.
Yeah, clearly RTD2 knew the exact date it was going out as well.
Yeah.
And there was even a bad Eurovision Song Contest in it. What's it called?
Oh, that song.
Funny little alien.
Dabadoo.
Dabadoo.
Dabadoo. Dabadoo. Dabadoo.
Dabadoo. Oh, it's fantastic. And... Right, so basically, Interstellar Song Contest is going on. The Doctor wants to take Belinda there because, you know, why not?
Well, he didn't go there deliberately. It's just Euro, Vindicator.
Yeah, they landed there.
Yeah, they thought, oh, I stay.
And bad things happen.
Mm.
There's a couple of people from a planet's whose name I can't remember.
The
Horny People.
They're really annoyed because their planet basically got taken over and...
Well, they're an ostracised race. Yeah.
Well, so no, it's more than that. Poppy honey,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
They decide that rather than attempt to use diplomacy or even raise an army, they're just going to slaughter 3 trillion people, as you do.
Yep.
And as I said to Keith at the time, the stage is a huge, basically a space station. The entire contest. Why would they invent it with an opening roof?
Yeah. because it's the M word, Mavity.
But why would you?
Why would you have it anyway?
Why would you have it? Why?
Why not have a roof?
It had its own gravity around it.
Mavity
around it. And it had an atmosphere beyond that. Because when they went up there... And obviously it's technology that's been long enough around that they thought it was very, very, very safe. So you could see the stars.
You could see it through the glass ceiling. But as I said to Keith, at the point where they opened the roof and everyone got sucked out... This is the opposite of Everybody Lives.
It's quite a good effect too. As people,
it really was, wasn't it?
Murray Gold's music just stopped at that point.
Didn't it? Really added.
Now this is one of those few episodes where you see the Doctor angry.
Was he angry?
Belinda thinks he's gone.
Been killed.
He thinks she has, but she got saved by being stuck inside one of these.
Somebody
VIP
closed
bench.
She headbutts the roof of the pod, doesn't she? And then someone closes
Mrs.
the
Mrs. Flood
door.
Is there, trying to get a lowdown on the same information that
the Vindicator.
She's using the same data. Yes.
And she gets, to misquote ghosts, sucked off.
Yeah. That's the second time we've had one of the main characters of Doctor Who try to be pulled out of somewhere by a vacuum.
Yeah.
And both times they've not been pulled out.
Blown out.
They've hit the wall instead of being sucked out of the door.
Blown out. You're blown out when...
sucked. Whatever.
You're obsessed with sucking, man.
That's not the way it works.
Adam has a glorious smile on his face when he says the word.
But you'd be blown by the air. But she hit the roof as if the gravity be inverted.
Yeah.
She would have gone out the front where the air was going out. But anyway.
There is a good reason why they're doing this. The company that runs the Interstellar Song Contest, the corporation, has basically decimated Helios.
Oh, blimey,
It's completely destroyed it. Slash and burn. It wanted the poppies that lived there.
Actually, it was...
But it was the essence.
The flavour and essence.
And once they got them, they completely destroyed and burnt. And then not only that, a bad name, the Helioses, and I'm sure it was intentional, but have literally made them scapegoats. Everyone hates them.
One scene that was particularly poignant was when they're describing their home planet being ravaged.
Mm.
They actually had scenes of what was happening, the fields being burnt.
People dying. Mm.
And Andor, but there we go.
They've all got horns,
yes,
like goats,
which is why he's kid.
Yeah.
Yes,
but he, as I said to Keith at the time, that actor did such a good job that if he'd walked into the living room, I'd have kicked him in the scrotum.
He genuinely hated him, didn't
he? Yeah, he was horrible. Going straight to the nuclear option rather than trying something else.
The Doctor had turned up with Belinda and occupied one of these like VIP little suites.
Gary and Mike.
Which upset Gary and Mike.
Yep.
Because they had the tickets and they couldn't get in. And were they having a fit with each other?
They were cross.
How long have they been in a relationship for? That's a long.
But we have the Doctor up in space, sort of floating along on minimal gravity.
Slowly getting freeze-dried.
Yep. Before we get to that, Ryland goes up there, who they keep bringing out of deep freeze.
Right.
And he's lying there. And Ryland is lying there. And he suddenly starts to get covered in ice. And he says, not again.
But I love the way they prepared him. Right, suit, check. Hair, check. Teeth.
They are very plastic-looking teeth.
Yeah.
They're his own teeth.
I think they exaggerated them for this.
Right.
And we also had what I pointed out to you, the deep cut from Dalek Master Plan.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
One of the performers. She
looked a bit like...
It was white skin with lots of reds And Keith showed me an image from Dalek Masterplan. And obviously it's black and white, but it's the same race.
So, well, yeah, they've got slightly gills more on the back of the head, which the originals didn't have, I think. Mm. But yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, so anyway, cool. You were saying, Tutti's up in space going, it's getting a bit cold up here.
Aye, and then a voice.
Woman, according to the subtitle.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And suddenly, Susan's talking to him.
Dun, 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 dun.
And suddenly we're going, whoa! His grandfather, wake up! Or something.
Come go find back. Me.
Yeah,
come
then back. She's definitely said, come and find me.
Yeah. Yeah. And she seems to be standing in the TARDIS, the latest version of the TARDIS.
Yes. Yeah. And it's her as she is now, understandably, but the Doctor presumably doesn't know her as at that age.
Yeah.
So that implies it is a real psychic link. I don't
they
know.
Said they recognise Time Lords. And he
and we have mentioned, as with number 9, there is some latent background connection.
And the fact that she called him grandfather.
Well, yes. And she doesn't look really that much. You can see it's the same person.
The point being, if he is just imagining her as he knew her, he would have imagined her
as he knew her. So he then has the wonderful scene of, how do I get back down?
A confetti cannon.
He swims towards a confetti cannon.
He isn't. He is.
And I thought, even at a young age, I thought Peter Davison throwing a cricket ball against the TARDIS to get some... I was pretty sure at the age of 12 that that's not how it works. But this was something else. This was so beautiful.
It works within the framework of the story.
It does. And so he's back on the space station with Mike and Gary. And then we have Graham Norton.
Yes.
A holographic Graham Norton.
This time. Legitimate appearance in Doctor Who.
Not gate crashing as he usually does.
He said in the Unleashed, when the incident happened with the microphone that someone pressed the wrong button, he said, I could have been swearing. I could have been saying anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, just doing a little dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
Like just walking down a corridor, wasn't it? I assumed he was on stage or something.
I thought somebody just had the TV on in the background and that she was walking down the corridor.
That was what a lot of people thought at first. Yeah. And then,
I didn't.
That was his first appearance.
He
and then
cross.
He appeared, is it Time of the Angels? Where the little cartoon popped up.
This time he was invited. But so the Doctor figures out he needs to get up to the deck. It just so happens that the two guys, Mike and Gary, one is a doctor who can resuscitate him, and the other one is a genius who can rework the system.
He works there and he designed
He did the museum.
Yeah.
And two robots come in up to kill the doctor, and they're going, behind you, behind you, behind you. He kills them. These robots blows off their heads with his sonic, at which point these two become very, very afraid of the doctor.
He doesn't even look at the robots, the
Yeah,
the
droids. Just held it up. I love the way the Doctor said he was in Brighton in 1974 when ABBA won.
I know, a cameo, a little shout-out to ABBA
And he said he met Graham Norton at Bryson Pride. Huh?
But yes, Doctor, more like, I thought the David Tennant's Doctor. I am the last of the Time Lords. I have supreme power.
I think he went worse.
Yeah, there was a touch of that.
Yeah.
He was torturing that person.
Yeah, it doesn't compare to a torturing forever as he did with the Family of Blood, though, does it?
Yeah, this is physical, hands-on.
Well,
the Family of Blood,
he
got rid
this,
of them.
Yeah, 3 trillion times.
Yeah, the last time he could have thought.
But he made them live forever.
The thing is, he can set that up and then forget about it.
Yeah.
Well, this is continuous laying on of hands.
He's the one that's physically actually inflicting the pain on this person.
It's one of the few times you actually see the Doctor as a vengeful,
sometimes you need someone to stop you.
Mm. Exactly.
In which case, it was Belinda.
Yeah, not Susan. He ignored Susan.
One of the contestants is also a goat person, but she's had her horns taken off. Because people, when they hear where she's from, or when they hear about
near
these places, they treat it as if it's
the pariahs.
Scum.
It's a knee-jerk reaction. Mm.
But that song was
evil,
lovely.
They're all out to cause problems. Mm. They're bad guys. Because the corporation have twisted.
Told them to.
But this is the way they've destroyed it, because they're the bad guys. Yeah. They are the scapegoats, I say.
That song, though, was beautiful.
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
That was... You had both ends of Murray Gold's talents here. You had that amazing song, and then you had...
Dugadoo!
Dugadoo!
What was wrong with that?
When Shooty in Unleashed, Shooty didn't realise Murray had written it.
Yeah.
And you also had both ends of the spectrum, because you had Kid who wanted to show the cosmos what had happened
by murdering
all these people.
Yeah. Yeah. Delta Wave.
She showed the cosmos what was happening by singing the song of their people.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. He was such a moron. He went nuclear but without even exploring everything in between. Mm.
And the first song you hear in the episode, they cut away from it after the first line. I thought, are they doing a bang-bang-a-boom?
Yeah.
Are they just going to cut away every time a song starts? We're not actually going to get any music. So to actually have that at the end.
Yeah.
It didn't translate, though.
No.
No.
You didn't need to.
Because of the way the TARDIS works.
Yeah.
And also, in Eurovision, unless they're singing in English, they don't translate anyway.
I was curious, this is totally my brain weirdo. Right, so Graham Norton at the end says, you know, Earth's gone, rebuilt from memories. But where did Ryland come from? Because you got Ryland in perfect order in Deep Freeze.
He must have been frozen before the end of the Earth.
No, he hasn't been frozen before the 25th.
No, it's obvious what's happened.
Go on.
Well, he's been given an opportunity for Avinson to go up in the blue, rocket?
One of the rockets.
Yeah.
Blue Origin.
He was in Earth orbit, but when the Earth goes up.
So he's got till Saturday to get himself.
Well, I think he's probably Auton, actually. Looking at him, he's very plasticky.
I was wondering if he was a clone or if he was some kind of sort of like automaton in some way that'd been programmed out.
He did so well. And he really was good.
And then that was it, because they brought everyone back from space.
Mm. Yeah.
And
to the tune of Making Your Mind Up by Buzz. Yeah.
Is that a winner from the Eurovision?
That was 1981 Eurovision Song Contest, Great Britain won.
Making Your Mind Up.
United Kingdom won.
All the little VIP booths were converted, and we got everyone
recovery
back.
Recovery centres and that.
You know, so everyone lives happily ever after. We assume Mrs. Flood came back with everyone else. I mean, we did see her. End of credits.
And then some of us turned the TV off because it's the end of the story.
I didn't want to be spoiled the next time.
The rest trailer. Of us watched the mid-credits sequence.
Yes, and for the first time ever, we'll shove a bit in the middle.
Not my first time. But
this was
twice this season.
This is interesting because obviously you had the spoiler music, la 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 la
la la.
You had the bi-generation of Mrs. Flood, the Rani.
Yes.
So Graham, what's his face? The two lads,
Mike and
Gary.
Get her. She's the last one to come back, and she comes out and goes, "Is the Doctor gone?" And they said, "Yes."
And so she's happy about that.
But.
Battle commence. And she has to think of some brilliant last words.
Yeah, but she has the comment of, oh dear, the double brain stem has frozen. Yeah. That's where my ears picked up.
Yeah. Yes.
And anyway, so by generation, Mrs. Flood is the Rani. And unlike... Unlike the Doctor's bi-generation, where everything was sort of, we're all in it together, she's immediately subservient to the current Rani, calls her ma'am, apologises a lot.
The new Rani feels more like the Kato Mara straight away.
Another reason that she's very much like the Kato Mara is the Rani didn't do anything that didn't need doing. She could have killed Gary and what's-his-face, Mike. But she had no reason to.
Yeah.
They were nothing to her.
Yeah.
So she didn't.
The Rani, unlike the Master, doesn't go out for vengeance and all the rest of it all the time.
She doesn't laugh either, does she?
No. unless they've changed the character, it will be more that Doctor is the end to a means or is in the way.
Yeah.
That's the two times she will pay him much attention historically. Now, we don't know how the character's changed from the Time War or what have you. But obviously something's happened because she also needs those coordinates.
Yep.
So she's trying to get back to Earth.
So she's obviously having the same problem. Is her TARDIS there? Mm-hmm. Is that what's caused the problems?
So are we going to see more of Susan? Mm-hmm. How did Susan and the Rani survive the Time War?
Yep. What about the fugitive doctor? Mm. Is he coming back? And why did we see a space baby in Lagos?
There's so many questions, and we've only got two more episodes.
For the second time this season, we've had a villain imprisoned who's vowed vengeance on the doctor.
Yeah, we had weird sort of social media bastard boy and kid.
Kid, yeah. Mm.
So which one of them's going to be involved or neither of them at this stage?
Both of them, maybe. Who knows?
This was a cracking episode, wasn't it? Oh, it was so good.
It really ramped up right at the end, though, after it finished, didn't it?
Can I ask a question? Adam, you said you didn't watch it. Was you watching Unleashed, sitting there sipping your chocolate milk, and then the interviews come on? Did you drop the chocolate milk, spray it across the screen? What the hell?
Not quite that much.
Just happened!
He's talking about the bi-generation this episode. I thought, what? What are you talking about? Better stop this and watch the thing. It took me a few seconds to find the remote control, which time they said the Rani. By that time, I was spoiled.
I must admit, I did notice there was a few posts up on Doctor Who stuff that sort of like, what the hell just happened? And I don't mean our entry in the song contest.
it was such a good episode.
The whole idea of having a massive space station devoted entirely to the Eurovision song.
Well, makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Well, they got that museum there, but I think otherwise it's probably just a generic arena-type venue.
But I liked the fact that it's not often that the two have coalesced at the same point, and to actually know you're going to be putting out a Who episode on the same night as the song contest.
Yeah.
I quite like that little bit of playing around with it.
And it may have even sort of tempted in other casual viewers that were already tuning in for Eurovision as well.
The ratings were up.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But yeah, is it Bang Bang or Boom, whatever it's called, is it better?
Bang Bang Boom.
Is it better than that? I don't know.
There was a sort of, it's different, isn't it? But it was more of a murder mystery going on between delegates, which Doctor Who's done before.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
So this felt completely unique to that.
Yeah.
This was the one I was worried about, just by the title.
This could have been so cheesy.
It was pretty cheesy.
But this was good cheese. This was a fine breeze
with a Stilton to follow. Whereas the Eurovision Song Contest is, sorry, American chums, American processed sliced cheese.
Followed by spray a bit cheese. Of pouring cheese.
American chums, is it true you chaps have got cheese in a spray can?
It is, yes.
Sacrilege.
They have cheese that you can squirt. They have spray can cheese.
Oh.
And they have that fully processed kind of like... You can actually get real cheese, but you have to be kind of like in the suburbs where they make it.
I thought Primula was bad enough.
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff isn't technically cheese.
Yeah. No.
It's cheese-flavoured something or other.
When we were over there, you wanted grilled cheese, so we got some. It burnt. It didn't melt. It burnt.
Oh, if I'd known they had cheese in a spray can, I'd have got some.
It's a bit like having a Twinkie, I think.
Exactly, you've got to try it. I had my first pretzel from a guy on a street in New York. I'm assuming he was meant to be selling them.
Still warm, was it?
It was still warm, and it was mahoosive!
As we were walking towards
Central Park.
That was a nice pretzel.
For you to go and do strange things on a
Gillen's Rock. Amy Pond's Rock.
Anyway...
I do have to have one question.
Go on.
Why the bi-generation? Is this going to be a thing since the toy maker?
Yeah, there's two answers to that. One, his bi-generation seems to have screwed up the whole thing because according to Timeless Child, it's based on him anyway, the regeneration. Or two, we're still in the toy maker's realm somehow.
Which is what we're still
in the toy maker's realm because the Mavity is still Mavity.
The new Rani, she seemed very, very ticked off that they were doing it that way.
You know,
not just regenerating normally.
So I think there's several different parts here, but I think the Toy Maker's realm has bled into the real realm.
Yeah.
And until it's all sorted out, things are going a bit screwy, Louie.
Is Mrs. Flood going to be the Rani's companion?
That would be so cool.
That'd be pretty awesome.
And it's fun that this new Rani was Sam Tyler's bedroom buddy in the first episode of Life on Mars.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. Wow. So the Master and the Rani were together in Life on Mars.
That is one thing I'm looking forward to. After all the Masters we've had and the Missing and they're all a bit crazy, maybe this will be slightly different and it'll tone it down.
It
and
should be.
If
more
they
clever.
Play it in the theme of the original Rani.
She's going to be very ticked off a lot.
Yes.
Will she dress up as Belinda?
That's it, because because Mel works for UNIT. If it all ends up at UNIT next week, then that's going to be quite interesting. She, oh, God.
Because Mel's met the Rani, hasn't she?
Yes. Yes. Nice. I mean, not that Rani.
Not that Rani, no. But Mel and Rani. So the Rani would recognise Mel.
She'd recognise Mel, definitely. Yeah.
But not vice versa, so that could be interesting. Ooh.
Anyway, obviously we've been loving this season so far. It's been fantastic. But tell us what you've thought by writing to us via show
at staggeringstories.net. Dear listeners, this is a very weird, slight recommendation for a Doctor Who podcast, in that I'm recommending you all go and watch Sister Boniface Mysteries, an episode that originally aired on the 21st of June 2024. Sister Boniface Mysteries are set in the 1960s, and they're about a nun that solves murder mysteries in a quaint little English village. This particular episode is called Professor Y, and it's about a convention of fans who love this old TV program from the 1960s about this gentleman that travels through space and time, not time and space, through space and time, with a companion who reaches their machine by answering a telephone and is being assassinated by the Cryoxes or something, which is a weird mixture of Cybermen and Daleks. It is hysterical. There isn't actually any murder in it, which is unusual for Sister Boniface. It is the best Mickey take of a Doctor Who I have seen.
Oh, not Inspector Space Time.
No, it is most definitely. I mean, the thing looks like a Dalek and exterminates. And it's lovingly done, and it's done tongue in cheek, and it is just so good. And I really recommend anyone that has a humour about fandom watches Sister Boniface, Professor Y.
Who wrote that episode? Didn't we know?
Paul Gibson. And I have to say, I did have to listen for a moment to find out if the Cryox's voice was being done by a certain Mr. Briggs, because it sounded very, very similar. They've used the voice ring modulator and all the rest of it. I think it's on New and Drama, and you can probably find it on other streaming services, but you don't have to watch the rest of them to watch that episode. That's the end of my little review.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, you've been writing to us.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've heard from Catherine, the Dragon Maker.
Hello, Catherine.
She says, hello, Staggerers.
Hello.
Just a quick follow-up on the feedback I sent just a little too late last time.
Oh, yeah.
One good thing I can say about this series of Doctor Who is they are certainly surprising me. The Well as a sequel to Midnight, indeed, a great idea that was executed very well, so to speak. Lucky Day was certainly a unique Doctor and Companion Light episode. While I hadn't really missed Ruby Sunday, I did miss her grandmother, and I'm really glad to get to see her again. I said I'd be quick, because I'm racing the clock yet again. Yay for procrastination. Anyway, take care, and I'm looking forward to listening to you all on the way home from my next show. And on Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you. Hope it went well.
Thank you. Yes.
Jay has also written to us.
Hello, Jay.
Jay says, hello, folks.
Hello.
We're into the back half of this season of Doctor Who now, and these past two episodes have been the best ones of this run so far. First of all, the story and the engine. I've had the whole week to ruminate over now, and unlike previous stories this season, this was the first one that made me want to go back and watch it again. Mm-hmm. While they didn't actually film in Lagos for this, the production design did seem to carry over the effect of a very vibrant and colourful marketplace.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Having never been there, I've no way to personally know how accurate it was, but it felt very real and a distinctly different setting for the show to visit.
Yeah.
Though this was not where the story took place, it did make me wonder how many times this Doctor has actually been back there. Certainly there's quite a few gaps in the time we've known Number 15 that he could have been kicking around in this incarnation for years, so let's just assume that.
Yeah.
It was quite an interesting premise, with this vessel powered by stories, though I did kind of wonder how the captive customers managed to keep going for all the time they've been kept there. Did they manage to sleep, eat, take bathroom breaks in all the time that they'd been missing? The episode skips over these for convenience, but it was something I was wondering as to the practicality of what they were trapped in.
Or inconvenience.
I also didn't quite follow the barber's history and how he related to these storyteller gods, but this hasn't quite bothered me as much either. I just rather went along for the ride on this one. Now, the Interstellar Song Contest, another good episode. As I mentioned before, I was doing my best to avoid teasers, trailers and spoilers. Mm-hmm. I knew the title of this, and I'm sure we probably had scepticism based on that title as to how musical this was going to be. Fortunately, any such fears seemed to be unfounded here. Really, only one song and a couple of bits of others, and that seemed right. Really, though, could Dugadoo be Murray Gold's best work?
Probably.
The story itself was incredibly simple, and admittedly one that I could see coming a mile off, with how it was telegraphed with the corporate sponsorship of the poppy honey for the Hellions, the focus on Cora, who was pretending to be from Trion, which, as we all know, was where Turlo hailed from. It turning out to be motivated in revenge seemed all too apparent, as well as the real identity of Cora.
That's true.
But the simplicity of the story aside, there was some of the best character work we've seen this season, from the couple of Gary and Mike to Belinda realising that she narrowly escaped dying in space, only to be trapped alone, to the Doctor pushed over the edge. The way that most of the audience went flying off into space when the air bubble over the stadium popped, and we had a view of this happening in total silence, was extremely well done. That scene was incredibly shocking, and I was just amazed that at that time we had seen one person be responsible for thousands of deaths like that. Well, one person who was not some kind of god turning people into dust and stuff like that. Of course, the Doctor would be fine. Not only would Doctor Who not kill him off permanently, but we've seen him survive in space for a while before. Yet here's where we get our first surprise of the episode. Susan! I'm delighted to see Carol Ann Ford back, and I really, really hope that this was not the only time she'll appear this season. I do wonder why she appeared to the Doctor now, and whether we'll get more on that. Then we get some vengeful Doctor with how he treats Kid, a level of which we've not seen since The Family of Blood. Not even his vision of Susan seems to stop him from torturing Kid, and it's only finding out that Belinda is alive and well that pulls him back from that. Now for the thing that annoyed me about this episode. Not the reveal, but how the reveal was done. I have habitually skipped the credits to avoid the next time trailer. So, of course, once the credits started to roll, skip. Then I found out from people elsewhere talking about a mid-credit thing, and I was like the Tennant Doctor doing, what? Back I go and watch the mid-credit bit, and there we have it. The broken clock of, it's the Rani, is finally correct.
Eventually.
It had to happen sometime, right? I know that people have been wondering if Mrs. Flood was her because of the whole anagram thing, Rani, Rain, Flood, but no. So we discounted this because always when we think it is never the Rani. To be honest, I felt it was anticlimactic. Then, by generation, wasn't this meant to be ultra-rare and mythical?
Yes.
Guess not, since now we've seen it twice.
Wow.
Anyway, next week we finally get to May the 24th and the end of the world again. Cheerio, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, you got lucky with that mid-credits thing. I found out the contents before I saw it, sadly.
I didn't find out till today.
You haven't seen it at all.
I literally watched it before we came out to do the podcast.
I didn't watch the I haven't watched Unleashed. I tend to watch them en masse at the end of it,
right?
And I hadn't picked up anywhere that there was a mid-credit scene.
We mentioned, what did you think of the mid-credit scene?
And I went, what mid-credit scene?
It's all over Facebook, people with pictures of the Rani and talking about it. So
I think I've managed to avoid them all.
Yeah, you're lucky to have avoided it.
They had a precursor with the Doctor Who fans in Lux, didn't they? Maybe to
Which does raise the question of who is the Rani talking to?
Because there's been a lot of talking directly to screen, isn't there?
If she were a god, then you could probably explain that she was talking to, I don't know, other gods or something, but the Rani?
Yeah, because funny enough, once the reveal was done, I went back, after Cocktails, I went back to watch the season finale from Series 1. And
as
I was
one does, has Cocktails on a Saturday.
Focusing on Mrs. Flood more than anything else and what she was saying, and, you know, tell your maker and things like that. And it it made a bit more sense to me what was coming. So many plans, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so has she been talking to those three fans?
But how would she know about them?
It's going to be an interesting couple of episodes.
They survived beyond the Lux. They did. So are they the Luxes?
We know that, but
But this is the thing is, are they the Luxes creatures or are they hers?
I still think they're the gods of Ragnarok. Right, we have a bit of audio feedback.
Ooh!
From Catherine again.
Wow. Hello, Catherine.
We're sorry we recorded again. Early twice in a row. There were bank holidays.
Won't happen again.
Yes, it will.
Not next bank holiday. Maybe August. I don't know.
Is there one in August?
Yeah, end of August.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there is. We've got it off.
Hello, staggerers.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty. Hello to all the goats. And hello, Head of Pertwee.
Indeed.
Seems my feedback has something of a timey-wimey quality these days between my procrastination and your bank holidays.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all caught up now.
It's been busy here at Shea Dragon and, frankly, a little crowded.
Mm.
My brother is off work for several weeks as he recovers from a successful surgery.
Good.
And here all the time. But he's healing and surprisingly chipper, so that's all to the good.
Yeah.
I've just become a creature of habit, and change isn't always easy, even temporary ones.
Indeed.
Personal issues aside, I feel really blessed to be able to watch not one, but two excellent series right now.
Mm-hmm.
Andor has been unfailingly brilliant.
Amazing. Yeah.
And while Doctor Who hasn't always been fantastic, last week I watched two very different but equally stunning hours of television. Episode 10 of Andor left me in a quiet, contemplative place, while the story and the engine was a delight. Giant mechanical spider notwithstanding. The story and the engine. This story brought up something I can't say I've thought about before. The Doctor and community.
Mm.
He's long since eschewed his own original community to be a wanderer in the fourth dimension, a cosmic hobo, if you will. Mm-hmm. While the Doctor has created or found small family groups, he's always kept himself apart somewhat. His time with UNIT comes to mind, especially. In this current incarnation, and apparently a much earlier one, he's sought community in black spaces. And I'm loving it. And what do we do in community spaces? We tell stories. In different ways, to be sure. But it all comes down to stories. Stories power the titular engine. And of course, the Doctor has the best stories, even when he's telling someone else's. I did like seeing a Belinda story in the middle of things, as otherwise this episode would be very companion-like. But I did prefer the animated stories. And what a treat to see the fugitive doctor again.
Yeah.
Just a quick cameo, which was perfect. I really appreciate RTD embracing the Whittaker/Chibnall era, warts and all. To be clear, the fugitive doctor is not a wart. The Interstellar Song Contest. Quite the roller coaster, this one. Starts off light and fluffy, and then goes really dark really fast. 100,000 people apparently dead in the first 10 minutes. The Doctor torturing the bad guy. This is new. But, oh my god, Susan? Actually Susan in the current TARDIS? What is this? By now, everyone has heard your reactions to both reveals.
Yeah.
But I can tell you I was shocked to see Susan. Hand over my mouth to keep in the squee. I think I missed the next 2 minutes of the show as my brain exploded. Blah, 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 stories, plot, songs, and so on and so forth. Being a spoiler phobe, I turned off the episode as soon as the credits started and had no idea about the mid-credits scene until I was listening to The Incomparable's Doctor Who Flashcast the next day.
What?
I turned off the podcast, spent several minutes arguing with Disney Plus trying to get the episode to play again, but finally got to watch Mrs. Flood by regenerate into the Ronnie. The frelling Ronnie. So much for it's never Susan or it's never the Ronnie. RTD has gone and brought both of them back. Even after SUTEK last year, I did not see this coming at all. Now, I'm in a small minority for actually liking last year's season finale, but I really did enjoy both episodes. I have all my crossables crossed for the end of this season and am quite worried that this will be the end for Shooty.
Yeah.
I really hope not.
Yes, so do I.
As I have very much enjoyed his Doctor.
Yes.
All right, time to wrap things up and post this feedback. Who knows when it will get to you? Who knows? Take care, my friends. Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you, Catherine.
Catherine.
Lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Thank God.
But never fear, in the next one, there'll be more of the same. More fun frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more who, new and new. So,
R for Ronnie or S for Susan?
Both. R and S.
Okay.
Rambunctious.
Right. Sodding,
scintillating,
remarkable,
scatological,
silly,
sexy,
stunning,
sidewinding, slop bucket of radishes comes
rolling
seductively
towards us. This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Most gods throw dice, but fate plays chess. And you don't find out till it's too late, he's been playing with two queens all along.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 472, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, Gene Riddler, Scott Fuller, and the real Keith Dunn, and Trixie. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente and Fake Keith production for www.staggeringstories.net. No, you made them. Stop. 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 Come on, then. What have we got? Have we got to do anything?
Yes.
Oh, all right. No.
Audience participation.
Conga.
Right, now.
Oh, she's settled.
Pacific.
Excuse me. Are you stroking my pup?
Indeed. The brain part.
Excellent.
She has a brain.
Do not pick on my pup. Pup, you're right. Oh, big stroke. Oh, we're loving Scott. Leaning into Scott.
Oh, bless.
And Scott's grinning. Look at that cheesy grin.
Let's face it,
woof.
Animals
woof,
can woof. Sense if you're dangerous.
Yeah.
There you go, Crumbly. Mm. You're dangerous.
I'm dangerous.
Yeah. It's the same with Eugene. You're dangerous. Adam, you're a little bit dangerous, but she gets used to you.
Acceptable danger.
I was having my Häagen-Dazs lunch the other day, and one of the girls came up. Can I try some of that? No. Oh, God, let me try some of that. No. Are you sure I can't try some of that? Okay, there you go. Tried some of it. Oh, why is it cold? What, you watching cats get baby fees is quite fun.
Sorry.
I am a solid mass of viciousness. How dare you just pick me up and carry me?
Is that look of... What the
it's
hell?
Not one of, it's not one of our cats. I mean, Darcy. Whenever we pick him up, he always has a slightly indignant look on his face.
Yeah. I am a born killer, and you're just picking me up.
It's that meme, isn't it? Cats are always pissed off because they're the most perfect killing machine on the planet, and humans call them snooky poos and cuddle them and pick them up.
Well, it's
she does not look
farts.
Comfortable, Keith.
She'd move if she wasn't.
No, the back leg was going.
Yeah, I know, because I was scratching.
Oh, okay.
See?
It looked like she was sliding off.
No.
Yeah, so
there it is.
Magic spot. Stop it.
Stop.
Right, someone else who quite enjoyed that. Well, I'll do that again as Madam was coughing. Someone else. Who... If you're going to make a jump, I'm going to take her away.
She just got McGaffey. Sorry.
She whittles on his trousers.